Our scripture readings this morning, we have three of them today. The first one comes in 2 Kings chapter 12, and then we will flip to Psalm 121. And our final scripture reading does not come from 1 Corinthians, as I mentioned earlier, and as I told my wife yesterday, which tweaked her a little bit when I told her I changed it, as that was where she centered her children's message. But we'll go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Starting in 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all his days, because Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. The people continued to sacrifice and make offerings on the high places. I invite you to turn with me now to Psalm 121, a psalm of ascents. David writes, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore." And turning now to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew writes, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus said to him, 'Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, this morning we are continuing our late summer series, Did Jesus Drink Coffee? As we walk with the Lord, as we read through the Bible, as we did this past spring, there are a lot of questions that tend to come up in our life of faith. And throughout this short series, we are doing our best to work through at least a handful of those questions that you shared with us from your reading of the Bible. Last week, we took a look at Jephthah's unfortunate vow and saw that when we live with integrity, our beliefs and actions will be consistent and others can trust our word. Now, throughout the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, the faithfulness and effectiveness of the various kings that are mentioned there is measured by how well they eliminated the worship of false gods and idols from the land. Good kings removed the false gods. Great kings went further and removed what's called the high places. What were the high places and why were they so significant? And more importantly, perhaps, what are the high places of our lives and what should we do about them? As we look into our passage this morning, we will see that when we turn to the Lord for our help, we find the power, provision, and protection for which we yearn. Would you please take a moment to pray with me? Lord God, we do come before you thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thankful for the Word incarnate in Jesus Christ and for the Word written in our scriptures in the Bible. Lord, as we come to your Word this morning, we come expecting to see your Son, to hear his sandaled feet walking in our hearts. Would you open our eyes to see him more clearly? Open our ears to hear you more fully. Open our hearts to receive you more deeply. It is in the name of your Son we pray. Amen. Well, as you heard in our first scripture reading this morning from 2 Kings, we read that Jehoash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all of his days because Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. The people continued to sacrifice and make offerings on the high places. This phrase, as we said, is repeated throughout the books and in reference to just about every single king that we find recorded in the books of Kings and Chronicles. So it must be significant. But as with many things we read in the Bible, we struggle to grasp the significance of it because, frankly, so much time has passed and our culture has changed so much since the time when these words were written. However, as is often the case with things that we read in the Bible, once we see what was meant back then we find out that we face many of the same struggles in our lives today. The context may change from eon to eon, but the human heart remains stubbornly the same. So, just what were these high places? Well, throughout human history, we have always seen the pinnacle of mountains and hills as places of strength and security. And so, very often throughout history, in almost every culture that you find, humanity often builds places of worship on top of these sites. That's why, for example, Mount Olympus is considered the home of the Greek gods. It was as close as they could get to the heavens in their area. We have always viewed these literal high places as areas closer to divine because they are literally closer to the heavens. So, throughout history, across almost all religions and beliefs, temples and sanctuaries have been built on the tops of nearby hills and mountains. In the case of Jerusalem, it is literally surrounded by hills, kind of like, but yet much more so than here in Lynchburg. And that's why Psalm 121 opens with its question, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" On the tops of these hills around Jerusalem were places of worship to the numerous foreign gods of the Palestinian region. A traveler coming to Jerusalem or leaving from Jerusalem would have heard the calls, the invitations, the worship of these high places as they went along their way. They could look up and see them. If a traveler was feeling weak and overwhelmed, these high places promised the power of the gods to encourage them. If they were feeling attacked and scared, they promised divine protection. If they were exhausted, worn, and beat up, the high places promised provision. The psalmist finds himself standing in the streets of Jerusalem and doing the very natural, instinctive thing that we all do when we find ourselves struggling, hurting, doubting, afraid, or suffering. He looks up. He looks around, and he sees the hills. He sees the places of worship on top of them, and he asks, "Will my help come from there? Is that where I will find help?" The temptation to turn to the high places sings out over the weary traveler of life like the siren's song calling to Odysseus. Worn out by the constant daily barrage of living, the promises of the high places on one hand seem too good to be true, but on the other hand, frankly, they are just so much closer and so much more tangible than what Yahweh offers. And that's why the high places were so pervasive and lasted as long as they did. Help that is tangible is always more appealing than help that is intangible. Help that you can't see, hear, feel, taste, or touch. I think that's why the good kings, like Jehoash, left up the high places. For them, the high places served as something of a safety net, a backup plan, just in case Yahweh didn't come through the way he said. God, for all of his wonders and power and love, also seems to frustratingly delight in keeping his plans and methods secret until the very last possible moment. Have you ever noticed that in your life? Isn't that frustrating? Is that just me? Okay. That got awkward. God's path is the path of trust. And in that, it's often blind trust. And the reality is, brothers and sisters, the high places are just so much more visceral and so much more forthcoming. And as we all know, it's much easier to trust what I can see than what I can't. But what about now? Here we are, 2,500 or so years after King Jehoash, and as far as I know, there aren't any shrines or temples or sanctuaries built on the tops of the mountains around Lynchburg. But we have our high places as well, don't we? In fact, for the better part of the past 5 years, and actually much longer than that, I would argue we've been obsessed with one particular high place that makes some incredible promises. That particular high place is the presidency, and in specific, government and politics in general. This high place doesn't appeal to one specific kind of traveler, but rather to all travelers. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you find yourself, if you're a liberal or a conservative, it's all the same. In fact, right now we find that both of our presidential candidates are making incredible claims about what they will offer and do for the people of this country. One promises power to those who feel powerless, and the other promises to redeem the soul of a nation. The faithful are constantly tempted by this high place. Its siren song and the hope it promises are so very alluring. This high place boldly promises to protect us from harm, to provide for our every possible need for free, and to empower, to give power to the powerless. But politics isn't the only high place we are tempted by these days. Look at your own life, the decisions that you make, and the places that you go. We have found ourselves living under incredible stress and challenge this year. Stress and challenge that, frankly, seems like it's just going to continue to get worse before it gets better. The strain of living under this pandemic and everything else that's going on has left us feeling powerless, exposed and unprotected, and worried about our daily provisions. My goodness gracious, just a couple of months ago, we went months trying to figure out where the heck you could find toilet paper. And now we've reached the crisis point of a pepperoni shortage. And dear heavens, I don't know what we're going to do if we run out of bacon. When you feel powerless, where do you turn? When you're being attacked and need protection, what do you look to defend you? When you are wondering where the money's going to come from to pay the next bills, or, oh my goodness gracious, just tomorrow's groceries, to whom do you cry? Maybe you turn to the high place of escapism. Television, books, movies, video games, alcohol, anything to distract and numb you from the woes of today. Maybe you turn to the high place of friends and family, people to bail you out and rescue you from the trouble in which you found yourself. Perhaps your high place is yourself. After all, when push comes to shove, the only one you can really count on is you. And if you're not going to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, who's going to? There are countless other high places that make promises that, frankly, they can never deliver. Now, I do want to say one thing. I'm not saying that any of these things that we just mentioned are necessarily bad or wrong. But when we put them in the place of a high place, that's when they go from being okay to not okay. And we'll cover that in just a moment. Like we said, these high places make promises they can't deliver. And that is the catch of the high places. Ultimately, the high places are just a pile of rocks. A mountain is just earth and stone. If we take our eyes off the source of our assuredness, when we look to other mountains for help, then the mundane, the ordinary, the sun, the moon, the malicious things find us and strike us. The high places, brothers and sisters, well, frankly, Jeremiah said it best. Truly, the hills are a delusion, the orgies on the mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Brothers and sisters, what the high places offer, what all of the high places offer, is just a delusion, an illusion of actual provision, protection, and power. As I was studying and preparing for this sermon over this past week, it occurred to me that the promises of the high places are the same as the promises that Satan made to Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness after his baptism. Satan first tempted Jesus to turn stone into bread, the promise of provision. And then for the second and third temptation, Satan literally takes Jesus to high places. On the pinnacle of the temple, he tempts Jesus to test God's protection. And then on top of a high mountain, he tempted Jesus with unlimited power. In all of these, Satan is trying to get Jesus to take his eyes off the source of his assurance, off the only one who can truly provide for his needs, protect him from harm, and empower him for mission and for life. And in each case, Jesus turns to Scripture to remind him of who is the source of his power, provision, and protection. As ones to follow in the footsteps of our Savior, we will do the same thing by turning to the words of the Lord in Psalm 121. As we said, the psalm began with a question asked while looking at the high places surrounding Jerusalem. And what is the answer that the psalmist gives? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The psalmist looks past the high places, recognizing that their offers, their promises are empty lies that can never deliver. He looks past and he makes a simple, solemn, and firm declaration of trust in the Lord God Almighty. And the rest of the psalm is a declaration of how God will provide, protect, and empower those who place their trust in Him and Him alone. You see, it is Yahweh, not the high places, who will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. An interesting fact, reason why the high places were put where they are. Why did they build these places of worship on top of the mountains? Well, because they needed to be close to the heavens, because very often part of what they had to do was to try to wake their God up, because their gods often fell asleep on the job. and they needed to be woken from their rest. Think of Elijah's taunts to the priests of Baal in 1 Kings 18. Maybe you just need to sing a little bit louder. He's probably taking a nap, guys. All you got to do is wake him up. Elijah was mocking them for that. Yahweh, on the other hand, Yahweh never sleeps. He is always on guard, watching over you. Because of him, your foot will always be secure. It is Yahweh, not the high places, who is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. 6 times this psalm refers to Yahweh as your keeper or your guard. In this instance, in verse 5, this is the center of the psalm. Interestingly enough, it's actually in Hebrew, the syllabic center of the psalm. This word appears, and there are just as many syllables before it as after it. This means that the Lord's keeping is the central message of the psalm, because the word is in the center of the psalm. The Lord does not just keep the psalmist in the sense of providing a space, but it's an active keeping, a proactive keeping. The Lord guards, protects, watches over the psalmist, fending off those who seek out the psalmist or would do the psalmist harm. It is Yahweh, not the high places, who will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Brothers and sisters, your very life is in God's hands, and he will not allow any harm to come to it. Your every movement is watched over by the Lord, from here to there, from thither to yon, wherever and whyever we may go. Not only that, but God's protective presence is not temporary or passing. It is eternal and unending. Eugene Peterson writes this about this psalm. The promise of this psalm is not that we shall never stub our toes, but that no injury, no illness, no accident, no distress will have evil power over us. That is, will be able to separate us from God's purposes in us. If you read through the stories that you find in Kings and in Chronicles, you'll see that it was a mere handful of kings who actually removed the high places from around Jerusalem and in Israel. And frankly, those high places quickly sprang back up as soon as those great kings died. Such is the case in our lives as well. Like weeds in a garden, as soon as we've removed one high place, another pops up to tempt us with its siren song. As the tempting songs of the high places continue to sing in our ears, may we continually turn to the Lord for our help, finding in his arms the power, provision, and protection for which we yearn. Amen. Would you please bow your heads with me? Lord God, we thank you for the comforting and assuring words that we find in Psalm 121. We thank you for the truth that you give us in your word, the truth of those great kings who did remove the high places, and the countless other kings, Lord, who were faithful to you but left the high places intact. We confess, God, that far too often we lean on our high places instead of leaning on you. Thank you for your patience, for your mercy and your grace, which is new every morning. Lord, we commit to continuing to search after you, to trusting in you and you alone, knowing we will constantly be tempted once again by those siren songs. Lord, by your Spirit, give us strength to hold fast, to stand fast on your rock, Jesus Christ. May he truly be a cleft for us, protecting us from all that would seek to do us harm. Sometimes, Lord, perhaps even protecting us from ourselves. It is your Son, your rock, Jesus Christ, upon which our hope and our lives are built, and it is in your hands that they are held. By your Spirit, Lord, may we trust in you evermore this day. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.